From the heart of Europe to the world, this is RTI.
Welcome to Postcard from Poprad on the extraordinary week where the Queen in London tomorrow is celebrating my birthday as she does every year for me. I thank you, Queen Elizabeth. You're absolutely wonderful. This is Postcard from Poprad with me, Eric Wiltshire, at the base of the Tatry Mountains over in a beautiful little town called Poprad in the east of Slovakia, hence the name of the programme. And joining us in other parts of Europe are two... I'll think of a word in a minute. I'm trying to think of a word that epitomises both of you, and I struggle at that point.
Because, I found it.
Because,
all right, Eric, I found it.
Because one word describes Lee, and one word describes Mark, and I can't use the one, you know, wrong way round. So I think
one
I'll start off in traditional style. On the zit of the nose of Europe, it is in the UK that Mr. Lee Banks is based. Hello, Lee.
Hello, everybody. Thank you for joining us on this auspicious day of professionalism and fortitude and everything.
Right. And down in Gay Parry, as always, it's the founder of the Consumer Action Group, none other than Mark Gander.
Yes, hello. I'm still here in Gay Parry.
He sounds so happy, doesn't he? So happy. And we start this jovial programme in happy-spirited style with the birthdays. Great. But before I forget, hi to the guys over at Talk Radio, X Replay Radio, RTI, of course, and on Audio Boo, and any other way that you're listening to us, because I'm blowed if I can keep up with everything. This week, birthdays. Prince Philip, Duke of Edinburgh, is 90. We'll come back to that in a moment. Amanda Binney over in Northern Ireland. Mattia in Bratislava. Monica Norris in Poprad. Steve Edge over in Wales. How are you doing, Steve? Clive Gerrard in the UK. Gavin McCoy, blimey, in the UK as well. Graham Meachin, Peter Dorish in Poprad, Ashley Jerry down in Bristol in the UK, and, hang on, I've got a little bit of music for this one, because this is the daughter of one of the guys that kind of inspired me in terms of radio, and he's a star. Oops, that's a bit loud. And he sounded a little bit like this, Steve Walsh. This is the beat that rocks your feet. Before, for a love that I thought I couldn't find. Shall I sing some more?
I think we move on to Endel from Bedfordshire.
For the one that was mine, all mine. See, I can do it. And that's a little tribute to the late, great Steve Walsh, because this week, Leanne, his daughter, who's about 23, I think, is... celebrating her birthday. Ian Nell from Bedfordshire, Sally Stapleton from Shillington, and someone called Eric Wiltshire is also 22 this week.
For the third time.
Did I not move it up to 21 last, from 21 to 22 last year?
Sorry, mate. That means you're 66 now.
Oh. Lee.
Yes?
Do not associate everybody with your age.
I don't. We had an interesting experience this week about age.
Oh, word. Here we go.
Well, no, really, truthfully, because it was a bit embarrassing, because you know how I vaunt the strength of newspapers and the genius professionalism that they employ to turn out these tomes of wisdom and excitement.
Lee, can I ask a question?
Yeah, what?
When you start your stories, could you, on the day before we record the programme, go down to one of these doggy grooming places?
What?
A doggy grooming place.
Oh, I hope not.
Yeah, because
then... I don't like it doggy fashion, I tell you.
And then he could have all of his shaggy stories cut back a bit and they wouldn't be so long.
It's not a shaggy story, I'm just introducing it with gentleness and aplomb.
Yeah.
Anyway, it doesn't matter because the story doesn't actually stand up to the intro now. It was just very simply that we were interviewed for something that we're going to discuss a bit later. Okay. And guess what?
But
what?
The newspaper's got Andrea's age wrong.
Oh.
Yeah. She's livid. There's no way she looks anything like 86, like they said she does.
Yeah, okay.
68.
I rest my case then, really, don't I? Anyway. After all that lot, we start off, and just to describe what we do do, allegedly, we do have a look at the news from a sideways stance, and also we try to find some funny stories around the world as well as the serious ones. But we're going to start off with the young Prince Philip, who I think is wonderful, at 90 years young, who has announced that he's going to start taking it a little bit easier now he's 90. Lovely,
isn't he?
And Lee's got a few quotes, but the one I genuinely love, was the journalist that asked Prince Philip, "Are you well, sir?" The Duke replied, "Do I look ill?" and shrugged his shoulders as he walked off. I thought that was fabulous. The best put down for any journalist ever, that was.
Well, I'll tell you what, there's another, I think this is better put down. It was Simon Kellner, who was a Republican editor of The Independent, was invited to Windsor Castle. A reception at Windsor Castle. And
sorry, that's Windsor Castle, is it?
Castle, yeah.
No, Castle, dear boy.
Yeah. Castle, Windsor. And, anyway, you've put me off completely now, haven't you? You know how fragile I am this morning. So, anyway, Prince Philip asked in his best sort of Cockney accent, "What are you doing here, then?" And the journalist replied, "I was invited, sir." And Philip turns and says, "Well, why didn't you bother not to come?" he's cool, isn't he?
He's a great guy, and I think he gives the monarchy some character, actually.
He does.
It's super.
The Britain's Got Talent show in 2009, when Diversity won. Mm-hmm. And he met them afterwards. He just asked them, he said, "Are you all with one family?"
Yeah. I thought that was lovely. There was a wonderful piece on Sky News this morning from the island of Tanna, which used to be known as the New Hebrides, which apparently Her Majesty the Queen and Prince Philip parked the old Royal Yacht Britannia alongside in 1974. And the then chief went out there, his son, who is Chief Seiko, still remains optimistic that the prince will actually go back there. The reason being is that they hold him in such reverence. He's treated like a god in this little Pacific island called Tanna, and they've got tributes up to him, pictures. Once upon a life, they actually sent a spear from the tribe over to Buckingham. Yeah, really. Over
that
to
was some throw.
Exactly. over to Buckingham Palace. And the prince, I mean, this is just Prince Philip. He had a photograph taken of himself holding the spear, and he signed it and sent it back to the chief, which I thought was marvellous.
Very nice.
Yes. I think the problem with this tribe going to Buck House, though, is that typically the traditional dress of the tribe is a penis covering for the men and, well, it's a sheath, and absolutely nothing for the girls, which might cause a bit of an etiquette problem in Buck House, I'm thinking.
Mark? Are we allowed to say the word penis on this show?
That's
well, yes, it gave him happiness. And,
it's
gift that I possess.
Yes. But anyway, the reporter from Sky News asked the chief whether he
I've just got that joke.
God, stand up. No, don't stand up, for God's sake. Sky News asked the chief whether he had a message for the prince on his 90th birthday, to which he replies, "I say to him that all the villagers are here are preparing to meet him in 2012. And he'd probably go, actually, knowing him. But it's a long way, isn't it?
Should we tell our little story about when we met him?
Oh, you can do that.
Did you meet him?
Of course he did.
Eric and I were invited to a royal occasion. Should we say where it was?
Funnily enough, it was in Poprad.
It was in Poprad, yes.
It was in two places. One part of it was in the ice hockey stadium.
He asked me to tell this story.
And then the other part of it was in Aqua City in Poprad.
It was lovely. And we both were dressed up, weren't we? We had our best clothes on. And I'd had my hair done.
Excuse me, you had a non-matching jacket and trousers.
Yeah, that's because I've got two suits and I don't know which one goes with which.
And you've got the most amazing boots on.
And a penis cover.
not in my boots. No, don't run down there. I always wear motorcycle boots. I thought I looked quite fetching, actually, in my motorcycle boots.
Yeah. Picture this, dear listener. He's got a jacket and trousers, shirt and tie, and motorbike boots on.
And my hair tied up in a bouffant.
You did, didn't you? Yeah.
I looked gorgeous. And Eric looked pretty good as well, you know. He was sort of wearing a bin liner because it was the only thing that had fit him at the time.
Anyway, what did Phil the Greek say?
Phil, don't call him that!
Well, okay, his highness will agree.
He's Eric's friend.
Yes.
And, yeah, anyway, so we did, yeah, and the Queen was there, once she had everything, and we went into Aqua City. He was being shown, or older Prince Philip was being shown, a model of the future of Aqua City. And he turned around. And he turned around, he looked at me, he said, do you think they'll let me live here when I'm a bit older? And I looked at him and said, oh, well, yeah, of course they will, Your Honour.
Your Honour.
So you can call him Your Honour.
You are such a nana, Mr. Banks.
Don't you judge me.
And as I'm sure I've said so many times before, when the Queen actually came over to the... Oh, it's my phone going again. Move it away.
Wait, but the Queen...
The Queen came into the ice hockey stadium. Yeah, she's asking me to walk the corgis again. And we sort of whipped the crowd up as Eric was the English...
So you corgi registered then?
Oh, very. No, I'm gas safe now. And there was a standing ovation which lasted for around 5 minutes, where the president of Slovakia, the local mayor, were both standing alongside the Queen trying to quieten the crowd down. And they wouldn't shut up. It was a standing ovation for over 5 minutes. And I tell you what, as she came in, she looks... I'm sorry, Your Majesty. She looked slightly tired. And as she walked into this rapturous level of applause, she kind of like grew 6 inches taller. And with this beaming smile, walked out onto the red carpet, which was on the ice, so she didn't fall over. And as she came back, there was our little group right up close to her. And we sort of all nodded and she smiled. And that was magic. Absolute magic.
Yeah.
You know that red carpet?
Yes.
Does she take that with her everywhere she goes?
No, the president of Slovakia got that for her.
Oh, it's his red carpet, wasn't it?
Yes.
Well, what had he got in his hallway then? Well,
I don't know, really.
Taper down, didn't he? Yeah.
But I can confess that the president was slightly nervous at the notion of...
What, in case she ripped it?
No, in case she fell over. And, right. And we were going, no, this is non-slip red carpet, blah, 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 blah. And then everything was okay. But he was really sort of so very, very genuinely concerned about her safety of going on the ice. But there you go. Anyway, that's our little tribute to Prince Philip, the Duke of Edinburgh, who's 90 years young. And I have to say, you're quite right, Mark. He just makes the royal family real, doesn't he?
I think he's great, yeah. And I think, you know, I think a lot of people sort of think, oh, well, you know, maybe he's out of touch and pompous and this sort of thing. But actually, I think deep down, he's well, well regarded by people.
Yeah, and I think it's just his dry sense of humour that comes across as...
It's great.
Yeah, as some people would try and do it the wrong way around. Anyway, we move along because there's been a press release go out this week, which is all over the internet already, and Mr. Google's ranking it up already. Thank you, sir. Mm-hmm. And the headline is, Radio Tatras International puts the brakes on HGVs, or trucks, or camion, whatever you want to call them, in Staffordshire. And we're going to let Lee explain this completely because it was one of those things that where we get involved. And in fact, I'll read the comment out from the boss because that kind of sums it up a bit, really. Pardon me. Jan Talensky said that this is so RTI and postcard from Poprad. All three of the team fight for consumers on a regular basis and win they do. I'm very proud that RTI, even after the sad attempts of some to kill it off, has remained a global radio station for real people. And I think that kind of sums it up a bit in a lot of ways of what we do. But first of all, to Lee, this was... a problem where a number of small villages in Staffordshire were suffering with accidents not being reported, damage to vehicles, damage to property, noise pollution, etc., etc. And for over 10 years, one group were trying to fix it and couldn't. You jumped in with RTI, and what happened next?
Well, it is, yeah, just to fill you in briefly with the background, what you've said is right, but the problem is that... The villages we're talking about are on a road called the A519, which goes right through the heart of Staffordshire. Now, it is called an A road, but actually it is actually a non-primary route road, which means it's boring because it's a road campaign, but these things have got to just be made clear, which means that it is not part of Britain's trunking route, and the trunking route are the roads which are designated to take heavy goods vehicles.
Right.
Yeah. Now, this road, as I say, is not part of it. About 7 years ago, the county council in Staffordshire quite legitimately redirected all the traffic off the primary route, which is the A518, down the A519, while they carried out a lot of road works. Yeah. What they didn't do was ever bother to take it back. So this little road in the middle of nowhere, which is littered with national monuments and things, ended up with 4 million vehicles a year.
4 million?
4 million.
4 million. Wow.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah, my front door is actually... I don't have a front door now. We've taken it out because it was only 2.5 feet from the road. And 4 million vehicles, 2 feet away from your front door is a bit scary.
That's now, for modern people, that's under a metre away.
Yeah, that's right. For modern people. Yeah. Anyway, so... basically, we were told that there was nothing we could do about it. And like Eric said, the parish council and other bodies had tried fighting for nearly 10 years to get this situation solved.
But what was the problem? What were they saying? Why wouldn't they do it?
Well, the problem is, dead simply, and this is what we're going to reveal, part of what we're going to reveal tonight, we're not going to name anybody or anything at this stage, although ultimately we can if we need to. The county council continued to spend millions of pounds on the A518, the primary route, knowing full well that there was no traffic using it. That is just absolutely incontrovertible that there is no traffic using that road. And the reason is because the ring road round Stafford, which is the county town, which joins onto the A518, has something like 22 sets of traffic lights in 2 miles. So no traffic, and the lorry drivers we've spoken to have said the same thing, that they can't use it because it takes them just too long. So what the county council...
22 sets of traffic. Yeah. Crazy.
Absolutely barking.
They'd petitioned off the whole of the primary route, which only 2 weeks ago they sent out a press release saying that this was the primary route into Wales and Shropshire and everything, and will be so for the next 25 years. Mm-hmm. The sad thing is that they knew damn well that there was no traffic on it, and it was all on this road. Anyway, to get to the point about this, which is the good news, I can't say, as Eric did, that we've won it. We haven't. What we're doing, we're in a position now to cause so much trouble that people are going to have to back down and be honest. We've called the meeting tonight the truth, and that's what it's going to do. It's going to tell the truth about what happened here.
Yeah, but hang on a minute. You've already got a member of Parliament in the UK, namely Bill Cash... doing stuff already because of your campaign.
Absolutely, yeah. Bill Cash has jumped 100% on board to back us. And he's there. He's unfortunately not going to be at the meeting tonight, but he sent us a really nice letter to read to the people who come. Yeah. People are going to come for the whole 20-mile length of the A518. We've had calls... A519. We've had calls today. People are coming from all over the place because this road is destroying their lives, the way it's been treated.
Press turning up?
Yeah, press is turning up. I'll be there.
Well, the press is there already. It's Lee Banks from RTI.
We are actually, TV and newspapers are going to be there, but the beauty is, I could not, it's taken me 3 months to get to a position where I believe that out of shame and embarrassment and to maintain their dignity, Staffordshire County Council have to solve this problem. Right. And that's taken me 3 months of solid work to get to this position. Yeah. But I've got to say, and I'm not,
let's just jump in there a second, Lee. Go on. You've got other people who've been trying for 7 and 10 years, and you've done it in 3 months.
Yep, that's right. And that's basically
really good, isn't it?
Yeah, it is good.
I've done it by applying good old-fashioned journalistic techniques. Mm-hmm. I've been actually literally digging and digging and digging and finding out and asking questions and meeting people and trying to find out what the truth is. And we know what the truth is. The truth is incontrovertible. The council can't deny it.
Mm-hmm.
And, that's it. What I really wanted to say as well is that RTI, I love RTI, I love Postcard from Poprad, I'm an integral part of it, and I want to be until the day I die. But sometimes you have to brag about your own things.
Yeah.
And I could not have done this without the clout that RTI actually has in the world generally, and certainly over Britain. I could pick up phones, and if you pick up a phone, everybody knows this. If you pick up a phone, hello, it's Lee Banks here. you follow up with councillor or the police or whoever. You say, it's Lee Banks here. I need something done about this road. And basically say, yeah, all right, send us a letter or something. But to be able to phone up and say, hello, it's Lee Banks here from RTIFM. And they say, who's RTIFM? And say, well, just check it up on the internet. They go on there and they find out, they see the history of what we've done, how we've taken on BT, we've taken on major organisations across the world, and we've always won.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the power, truly, of RTIFM that's made it possible for me to do this in 3 months.
Yeah.
And Twitter.
Well, the power of shame, actually, is what
yes.
And I mean, and really, how sad that it's so necessary when people, you can't just get these people to take a sensible, pragmatic view in the first place.
Well, exactly. Yeah. I couldn't agree more. Well, I have to say, hats off to you, Lee. Congratulations. Glad RTI was a little bit of help towards the...
It was a lot of help. You can't underplay the help it's been.
And I think the other thing I would add to that, which is something that both Mark and we I know we joke about boys and girls, but the fact is that both Mark, Lee and myself are very much into what I would call socially responsible broadcasting. And that's what radio should be. And I find it very disappointing that so many stations around the world, and especially the UK, are, and I'm sorry to say it this way, so far up their own backsides that they don't have social responsibility and they'd rather waffle on about somebody's cat. And, oh, by the way, I'm off to open the supermarket rather than actually do responsible broadcasting for their listeners. And I hope this is demonstrating to some people that you can do it. It doesn't matter what platform you're on, satellite, internet, FM, AM or shortwave, doesn't matter. As long as you're doing the right thing, people will listen and people will take notes. Simple as that.
Yes.
Absolutely. But I can just say something else, because obviously, I retired from journalism 10 years ago and I've been retired ever since. But you don't, it's like riding a bike, you don't forget how to do it.
No.
And the simple fact is, and I would say to anybody who has any kind of problem out there to do with any kind of authority, don't be afraid to phone them up or go and stand on the doorstep and ask them question after question after question.
And equally, via your own station or via RTI itself, drop us an email, studio@rti.fm, or via studio at your own local station, relaying the programme. And if there is a case to be fought for, we'll do it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Hot news this week as we get towards the end of part one. At last, at long last, and I hope they're going to apologise to Spain for this, the terrible E. coli outbreak that has been sort of linked to cucumbers and tomatoes and just about anything else, and also resulted in the Russians banning imports of this sort of stuff from the EU, has now been clarified as being bean sprouts. Nothing else, not Spanish stuff. It's the bean sprout, says Reinhard Berger, who's the head of Germany's Centre for Disease Control. I just can't believe how far this has gone.
It is, and the trouble that it's caused, like, absolutely. You know, we've got producers over here who are, mind you, I think this is part of just the English angst, but they're claiming that they're going to go bankrupt because of all this.
France, so, Mark, what's that like in terms of the E. coli nerves?
Well, I mean, they're all very, very worried about it, and in fact, I was speaking to one or two of the supermarkets quite recently, and they said that that sales of cucumbers and, in fact, really a lot of fresh vegetables has pretty well stopped. They said it's having quite a dramatic effect. I understand that Europe's already talking about giving 150 million euros compensation to Spain.
Yes.
But what does worry me is that when you do hear a lot of, farmers, I mean, I suppose maybe, I don't know about farming, this is the trouble, but you do then find a lot of people start popping up and saying, well, it's going to drive them bankrupt. I wonder whether it's a good time to start claiming EU subsidies. And say, well, maybe I'm being very nasty and very cynical.
Well, I don't know. I mean, the other side of that really is, if it is that somebody in Germany said, oi, it's Spain, surely the German government should issue the spondoolies to make people happy again.
Well, that seems to be the right idea. But on the other hand, I mean, if you're part of the EU club, then presumably you're all in it together. I really don't know. But I think Spain is really trying to take it up directly with Germany. And I think Germany, from what I can understand, feel very responsible about it.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's actually from the Robert Koch Institute, and the Institute has now added that he was lifting warning bans against eating cucumbers, tomatoes and lettuce, but not on the bean sprouts at the moment. So I think that's the advice we go to everywhere. We'll finish on this kind of different story from the UK. Parts of England officially facing drought conditions.
And not only in the UK, but in France as well.
Absolutely.
In fact, I see that Sarkozy, the president of France, has just said to the farmers that he's carving out €1 billion compensation for the farmers. Mind you, Sarkozy is a very unpopular president. He's got an important election coming up next year.
Funny that.
But anyway, yes, drought everywhere, I think.
So according
to Chris,
this is up where you are in the Midlands, Lee, as well.
Yeah, I'm sitting here now on the floor in my gloriously old house being shaken apart by HGVs, and it's raining.
We'll start bottling it.
It's
and selling
never
it.
Stopped raining. It's never stopped raining for a week. You didn't look. Just make this up.
But we don't. We don't, because the biggest problem with water in the UK is the antique plumbing system that feeds the water around, which leaks as much water out of the pipes as what comes out of the taps.
I agree with you.
We have a whole Victorian system for the collection and removal of water and waste. It is a ludicrous thing, but actually, when you think what an incredible feat of engineering that was over 100 years, 150 years ago.
And, of course,
we're going off point here, because we are talking here about drought in the farming lands, and, I mean, they're not being fed by sort of old...
I live on farming land. I live in a farming community. Believe me, the crops round here are not dying. They're doing really well. Yeah. We are just doing what we do every year. Year for some inexplicable reason, as soon as a bit of sunshine comes out, we're a country, we're surrounded by water. We're one of the
well, you're not going to get your cut of the billion euros, though, are we? Going to save it for the French?
Absolutely.
I love the French.
Yeah, actually, I was doing all right last week, just as an aside, because a well-known European supermarket, not the one that's out of England, a German one, they actually had a French week. Oh,
really?
Yeah, it was all French foods in there, and lots of nice French cheeses. No, that was French Debbie. Kisses? That was Debbie Harry who did French kissing in the USA.
In the USA,
yeah.
French letters?
No, they got those regularly.
French letters.
Yeah,
sorry.
Right, that's the end of part one, boys and girls. A postcard from Pop Brad. We'll be back in part two faster than you can. Make whatever you want to make as we go to the break.
Cucumber sandwich.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bean sprout sandwich.
No bean sprouts. And we will be talking about the latest hoo-ha in the UK, which has been reported by the Daily Telegraph. Well, now, New Labour are in another spin of spin doctoring and trying to blame each other for something that happened last year. This is Postcard from Pop Rad.
From the heart of Europe to the world, RTI.